This is chapter 7, Bother Because He Loves You, of Michael Green's book, Why Bother with Jesus. This book has 12 short chapters. In total, it is about 70 pages long. Bother Because He Loves You. She holds you tight and murmurs in your ear, "Honey, I love you." Marvelous, it makes you feel very good, but will it last? Or is it a passing feeling that may be gone tomorrow and by next year may be murmured into somebody else's ear? We have almost forgotten what real life is like nowadays, because we are so hooked on the emotional feelings that go with it. Real love is tough. Real love is lasting. Real love is unselfish. Real love hates to see blemishes in the beloved. Real love can put up with anything. Real love is willing to suffer for the loved one. Real love is willing to die for him. That is the sort of love Jesus Christ has for us lot. And it's not because he finds us attractive. He doesn't. Has it ever struck you how pretty, how repulsive, how foul we must look to the perfectly sinless eyes of Jesus? Has it ever struck you how pity, how repulsive, how foul we must look to the perfectly sinless eyes of Jesus? He loves us not because he finds us attractive, not because we deserve it, but simply because he is love. Listen to the way the New Testament stresses it time and again. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3 verse 16. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 verse 8. God is love. In this is the love of God made manifest, that he sent his Son to be the remedy for the dirt of our sins. 1 John 4 verse 8. And an exiled Christian leader, John, condemned to the mines in the island of Patmos, is full of praise for the love that has met him and changed his life. Unto him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Revelation 1 verse 5. But perhaps the most moving expression of what it means to be reached personally by that love of God is found on St. Paul's lips. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2 verse 20. It's a marvelous thing to be loved. It somehow purifies you. It ennobles you. It makes you carry your head high. You want everyone to know about it. Your heart sings, someone has thought you worth loving. And that is one of the most marvelous things about the Christian life. The Lord himself has thought you and me worth loving. But how do you know? And how do you know he loves me? Those are the burning questions. Mercifully, the New Testament gives a clear answer to them. We do not have to remain in doubt or suspense about so important a matter. The next section is called The Symbol of Christianity. What is the most important mark or symbol of Christianity? The cross, of course. And that cross gives us the answer to our problem. It's an answer that the most profound thinker has never got to the bottom of, but it is an answer which can be perfectly clear in outline to a child. That nanny who wrote the famous hymn, "There is a green hill far away," for her children, had got the message very clear. He died that we might be forgiven, he died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin, he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Yes, the cross of Jesus Christ is the proof, the unanswerable proof of how much he loves us. He loved us enough to be mocked, despised, betrayed, given the cat o' nine tails, and nailed alive to a ghastly great chunk of wood before being hung up amid the flies and the heat and the agony to die a lingering death in excruciating pain. When I look at Calvary, I can have no doubt that he loves me with a love stronger than death. The next section is called The Message of Christianity. But why did he go there? What was the point? Could he not show his love in some less gruesome way? Yes, perhaps he could. But he did not go to the cross simply to show us how much he loved us. That was part of it, and a most important part of it. Like a magnet, it has drawn folk to Jesus ever since. But there was more to Calvary than that. He had a job to do on that terrible gallows. To describe the job very bluntly, he went there to save us. We need saving so badly that no other way was possible. That's an old-fashioned word, but we still use it. If you were washed over a weir in a river, you would need saving. If you were in a burning house, you would need saving. If you were broke with a massive debt on your hands, you would need somebody to step in and save you. That is the sort of rescue the New Testament has in mind when its writers say that Jesus saved mankind on the cross. He saved us from drowning in the alienation into which we had slipped away from God. He saved us from being destroyed in the burning house of our own selfishness. He saved us from the enormous debt of our failures before God, when he had nothing to pay with. He stepped in and paid it himself for us. You say, "I still don't see it," right? Let me turn you to the simplest and most profound explanation of the cross and its meaning that I know. It comes in the first letter of someone who was there on the edge of the execution crowd that first Good Friday, Simon Peter. "Why did he die, Simon? You ought to know." "Christ once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." 1 Peter 3 verse 18. That is why on the cross he suffered unspeakable agonies. Why did he bother? To bring us to God. That was his supreme purpose in coming to this earth at all. What was in the way? Our sins, of course, our selfishness, lust, hate, greed, meanness, pride, and all the rest of the horrid things in our lives. They acted like a great wall between us and God. We couldn't see to the other side. We didn't even know for sure if there was another side, and if anyone was there. But on the cross, Jesus suffered to get that sin wall pulled down. He achieved it by allowing the wall to fall on himself. The just for the unjust. That was it. He, the just one, took the place of us, the unjust, paying our debts, bearing our load, serving our sentence. He did it so that we could be well and truly forgiven by God, without for one moment denying his justice. It was all fair. The Lord himself had borne the penalty in our place, and he did it once. It is once for all. If it never needed to be repeated. The final section in this chapter is called The Wonder of Christianity. Once you see that, it takes your breath away. Did he love me that much? Yes. Calvary proves it. What, me? Yes, you. He loved you that much. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, sings Paul, the rebel turned disciple. He never ceased to wonder at it. Can you blame him? Isn't your own heart beginning to thrill at the thought that the Maker of the heavens and earth should love you enough to go to those lengths to save you from the results of your own stupid selfishness? That sets us free. It puts a new song in our mouth and a new spring in our step. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. What a value that sets on little me. What a lover the Lord must be. And I can be sure that I'm forgiven because the thing has been settled once and for all on that cruel, yet utterly glorious cross. You will notice that I've not attempted to give any human illustrations of what happened on that cross. There aren't any. For a love which sacrifices itself not for its friends but for its enemies has no parallel in our world. You will find that no analogy of a sea captain going down with his ship or a mother sacrificing herself for a baby compares with it for one moment. You will not find anything in the other religions that remotely compares with it. It is utterly and gloriously unique. There is nothing in the whole wide world like the love of God for sinners. That is why you should bother with Jesus. He loves you so much that he was willing to go through all that for you. Can you look him in the eye as he stretches out his nail-pierced hands to you in welcome and say, "Why should I bother about you?"